I need to pray one more time. A name I forgot came in this morning. Just bow your head once again. Dear God, our Father, we ask you to look on Mr. Antonio Reddick. He's in the hospital. He's in surgery. Lord, we ask you to take control of the operating room. Guide the surgeon's hands. Help him, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Help him, Lord. Lord, we're asking you to give him deliverance. And we thank you what you've done, what you're doing, and what you're going to do. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you. Again, we thank God for you and this Resurrection Sunday. A great day for the people of God. Amen. And we thank God to be in the knowledge of what Easter is all about. Amen. And we do thank God for you and your presence today. Today we want to, because this is Resurrection Sunday, would you get your Bibles and let us turn to Mark, the 16th chapter. Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. I'm reading verse 5. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And they said unto them, And he said unto them, Be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. God bless you. I thank God for the reading of that verse. And today, God has placed in my heart to preach on this subject. Jesus Resurrection and me. Jesus, resurrection and me. The resurrection of Jesus affected all of us in here today. You know, we talk about leading up to the cross, and we talk about Jesus dying on Calvary's cross, and he did. And he died on Calvary's cross to pay our sin debts. But today we want to see the importance of the resurrection. We want to see how the resurrection affected us today. So if you would, let's turn to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. Romans, the 4th chapter, and I'm reading at verse 25. We're still talking about Jesus, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. He was delivered. He died on the cross, and we know that He died on the cross to pay our sin debts. We had a debt that God was requiring of us in order to be delivered, and we were unable to pay that debt. But thank God, he had one who could. He had a substitute. He had one that could go to the cross and die for my sin and your sins. And Jesus is his name. So Jesus died, as we often talk about, for our sins. And, you know, it said the sins of the whole world, but I like to make it personal, so he died for me. Because each one of us in here, we were born a sinner. We were under the wrath of God. We were on our way to that place of punishment because God says the wages of sin is death. And we were in a helpless state because we couldn't satisfy that requirement. We couldn't die to pay our sin debts ourselves, because if we died paying our sin debts, we would have died as sinners. And if you die as a sinner, you don't go to heaven. Then, as I often say, that there are folks who might say, well, I'll just wait. I'll take my chances that he'll let me come in. No, you got to be born again. You have to be saved. And if you wait till Jesus come and you don't have salvation, you will yet die a sinner. And unfortunately, the place where sinners go, it's not a good place. It's not a place that the Bible, I thank God, the Bible makes it plain, because people like to make light of the Word of God. But the Bible says that that place that God has prepared for those who die unsaved, die without Jesus, die without being a child of God, is the Bible describes it as a place of outer darkness. It's a place where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's a place where the worm dieth not. In other words, it's a place of torment. Can you imagine being in a place where you can't see anything? Amen. But you hear the weeping, you hear the gnashing of the teeth, and that's the place that we all were headed. If Jesus hadn't willingly gone to that cross and paid our sin debts. So we know he paid our sin debts. And now let's look at the latter part of that 25th verse. So he was delivered for our sin, offenses to pay our sin debt, and was raised again for our justification. So Jesus died to satisfy that debt that we had, that God had on mankind, and he paid the debt. Last week, God had us talking about the debt is paid in full. So Jesus paid that debt. But this is the important thing, that he had to get up. He could not stay dead. He prophesied that destroy this temple in 3 days, I will raise it up again. They prophesied about his coming and paying that sacrifice. And he declared himself that he is the Lord. And he made this statement, this is a statement of fact, that 3 days you destroy it and I'll raise it up again. It's important that Jesus was resurrected, saints, because that opened the door for our justification. And justification simply means that we can be declared righteous. We can be declared righteous. And I thank God that God made a way. See, we don't ever need to forget that Jesus died when we were his enemies. Jesus died when we didn't love him. Jesus died when we were enjoying the pleasures of this world, not thinking about serving the Lord. We were in the world, and it's like the world said, they're having a good time. And Jesus died for you, and he died for me, so that our sin debts could be paid, and that opened the door so that he would be able to justify us. Thank God that God loved us so much. It's not God's will that any should perish. Think about that. The Son of Man is out in the world living a life of sin, doing all the evil he's done. It's not God's will that any should perish. God doesn't find any pleasure in the death of the wicked. That's why God sent Jesus here, so that Jesus could make a way. Jesus could open the door so that we will be able to avoid going to that terrible place that's been prepared. And then some folks say, well, if God is so loving, why does he have a terrible place to punish people forever? God is so loving that he sent his son died for you. So it's not God's fault. If you reject Jesus, if you reject God's word, if you don't have faith in what God says, the fault is yours. Amen. Because God has provided a way. The way has been made. Your debt has been paid, the debt that you couldn't pay. But God sent his son here. And his son died. But the important thing is this. He was resurrected. The men told the ladies, he's not here. He's risen. They found an empty tomb. They found the cloths that were on him, but they didn't find Jesus, not in there dead. You know, when we think about Jesus, Jesus has done something that no one else can do. There have been religious leaders, even in our day. Some of them say that if they died, they were going to come back again. Well, let me tell you what. You can find that grave, and you open it up, you're going to find that they're still in there. Amen. They did not come back. Now, there were people that were resurrected in the Bible, but Jesus is different from the rest of them. Lazarus was resurrected, but eventually Lazarus died. And the others that were resurrected, they eventually died. Jesus died, but he got up. He got up. See, the others that people prayed for them or did something, and they got up. Nobody had to pray for Jesus. He declared he's going to get up. And when they got there, the stone was rolled away, and Jesus was not dead. He was alive. And this is the important thing that separates Jesus from all those other false leaders. Jesus is alive forevermore. He's not going to die again. As I told you, Lazarus got up, but Jesus got him up, but he had to die. Jesus is alive forevermore. All right, let's look at how that the resurrection affects us. If you would, let us go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. As we see in this passage, Paul is talking to those false prophets, false apostles, and he had a battle just like Jesus did. But let's look at the importance of the resurrection of Jesus. Verse 12. Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? Even today we have skeptics. Even today we have folks who think that they are so intelligent. They are deep, they are knowledgeable, they have all these advanced degrees, and they say there's no way that could happen. Just like they say, there's no way for Jonah to have been in that big fish that God prepared. They're dealing with a God who can do things that's impossible in our eyes. Amen. So you got even today, some think that, you know, no resurrection of the dead. When you're dead, you're gone. You're gone, but let me tell you something. There is going to be a resurrection. Amen. I'm talking about for us. I'm talking about, let me say it this way, for the human race. Those that have done good and those that have done bad, there's going to be a resurrection. So let's verse 13 say, but if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? Well, if you say that the dead don't rise, then that put Jesus in it. Amen. That throws Jesus in the category of that he couldn't get up because the dead don't get up. But we know that's not true. All right. Now, let's continue. 14. If Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. So those of us who are preaching the gospel and say Christ got up, if Christ didn't get up, we're just an empty message. And those who have faith in what the ones who are saying he got up, it's an empty faith. But oh, I want you to know it's not empty, saints. It's real. Christ got up. And I thank God. So the message is true. Amen. The fact that he got up is true. We have eyewitnesses that Jesus got up. Look back up in the same chapter. I want to read to you, starting at verse 4. And that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. And then he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. The tomb was empty, but he had folks who saw Jesus. Cephas saw him. The disciples saw him. And then look at verse 6. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once. 500 people besides the 12 and Cephas. That's a lot of eyewitnesses. That's a lot of people who can attest that he indeed was alive. Because you know they paid those guards to say that the disciples stole his body away. Amen. But thank God we have eyewitnesses to say, no, he's alive because we saw him. Above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. So Jesus left evidence. He left eyewitnesses to attest that he indeed had gotten up. And you remember he walked with a couple of disciples on the Emmaus Road, and he revealed to them, and they didn't realize that was Jesus until they convinced him to not go further but stay with them. And as they sat and they broke bread, and they realized their eyes were open. So they could, the men on the Emmaus Road can attest that, yes, because we sat with him. All right, then verse 8. And last of all, he was seen of me also as a one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. God is a merciful God. Amen. Here Paul said that he persecuted. You remember he was on the Damascus Road on the way to try to, he would get the Christian people and he had authority to get them and to bring them to have them put in prison. But one day he met his match. One day he met Jesus on the road. Amen. And I tell you what, when you meet Jesus, you know your life is no longer the same. Amen. He had to surrender. He had to have, Jesus changed him. And he became a great missionary who taught the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. But he said, I persecuted the church. That ought to let you know that, you know, sometimes what the devil does, son of man have done things, and the devil said, well, God ain't gonna forgive you for that. Saints, what did God tell us about the devil? He's a liar. The devil doesn't want you to believe the word of God. The devil wants you to he wants to fill your mind with negativity and get you to hold on to that. Amen. So you get folks say, well, I want to serve God, but I've done things and God won't forgive me. This is what I say to them. Have faith in him and go ask him and see what he'll do. If you mean it in your heart, God said, if you ask for mercy, he'll give you mercy. And we got to remember everything that God says is true. God says, if you ask for mercy, he will give you mercy. And we are living witnesses. Those of us who are saved, we're living witnesses. Because one day we received from the mercies of God, because we needed his mercy. We were in a pitiful state. We were his enemies on the way to the devil's, as we like to say, the devil's hell. But that's what the place was prepared for, God, and the devil is going there. And all those that follow him, they are going there. All right, but so we find out. Have faith in Jesus and you'll find out he does extend his hand of mercy. Oh, I thank God. So we find out, as we continue, Paul said in the 15th verse, yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he was raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. So all of us who are preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, our preaching is wasted. But I tell you what, it's not. It's not. I'm a living witness. You're a living witness. The Bible says you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Amen. One day we were wrapped tight and tangled in sin, but one day we heard the truth, and there's power in the word of God. Amen. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Greek first, and also to the Jew, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. This is the faith way. We got to believe that Jesus got up. We got to know for a fact, it doesn't matter what anybody says, it doesn't matter what kind of degree and theology degree, and they got their PhD and all these things. If they go contrary to what the word of God says, they are liars, because God's word is true. And we are living witnesses that Jesus is alive. All right, so he got up. As I just read earlier, for back up, you had eyewitnesses. All right, let's go to verse 16. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. Well, again, we know that's not true, because there is going to be a day where the dead, the Bible says that the grave and the sea will have to give up their dead. And then they're going to have to stand before the judge. And they're going to be judged concerning the things that they've done in their bodies, whether it's been good or bad. And I tell you what, you don't want to have to stand before the judge without Jesus in your life. Because when Jesus comes back, there's going to be a separation. He's going to separate the unbelievers from the believers. And then when he separates, one is going to eternal happiness and one will go to eternal punishment. And the one who go to eternal happiness is the one who had faith in Jesus, his resurrection, and he is the Lord of their life. So Jesus is alive, and the dead is going to get up. Verse 17, and if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. You are yet in your sins. Do you see how the resurrection affected you and me? If Christ did not get up, that meant, and that means, it already said our faith was vain. It means that if he didn't get up, we're yet at sinners. He paid it, but he had to get up. That was the culmination of his ministry here on earth. He died, but he got up. And he's alive forevermore. So Christ is raised, and we know that. And our faith is not in vain, because he lives in us. Then it says, then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. And we know that's not true. God's children The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Amen. The Bible lets us know, as I said earlier, that Jesus, when he comes back, he's going to separate. Some will go away to life. Amen. When Jesus saves us, he records our names, and our names have been recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. So we know that what the people who go contrary to what the Bible, we know that they're not true. Because the Bible said, let God be true, and every man a liar. So then they which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. But we know that's not true, because Jesus came to give his life so that he could give life to us. Amen. Amen. God's children are not worried about the place of punishment. They're not worried about going to hell. They're not fearful of going to hell, because we have been born again. We are children of God. And the wonderful thing about that is God's children go to heaven. Can I get an amen? Amen. Amen. They go to heaven. They go to heaven. We need to keep that in mind. All right, so say, then they which are falling asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. If our hope is only in having this life with happiness or whatever else, we're in bad shape. Our hope is not in this world. We're passing through here. This is foreign land to us. Our home is heaven. We are citizens of heaven. And we know that when this life is over, those of us who are saved, we will be absent from the body to be present with the Lord. Our names have been written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And when we get there, they'll know who we are. Amen. And we are God's children. Thank God for his word. Saints, believe the word. Believe the word, because God's word is true. All right. Now, look what else we need to look at. Let's go down to verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruit of them that slept. The scripture says he is risen from the dead and become the first fruit of them that slept. Jesus is the only one got up under his own authority, own power. And we're going to be like him. He's going to resurrect us. He's given us the pattern. And we're going to be resurrected like he is. So it says that, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruit of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. It's important that Jesus got up, was resurrected, because it affected our destiny. Now think about this. If Jesus did not get up, the Bible says that Jesus, after paying the sin debt, he went back to heaven. And the Bible declares that he is sitting on the right hand of the Father. And as he's sitting there on the right hand of the Father, he is there as a mediator. He's there to represent us. He's there to speak on our behalf. Amen. But if he didn't get up, he couldn't do that. If Jesus is dead, do you know we couldn't be forgiven of our sins? Because he's the one that forgives us. And if he's dead and you go to the tomb and you call on him, he's not going to hear you because he's dead. But oh, saints, he's alive. And we can be forgiven of our sins. If Jesus was dead, do you know we would have no peace with God? We yet be under the condemnation of him. We wouldn't be sitting here in heavenly places. You know, in Romans chapter 8, it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And that's because Jesus forgave us of our sins, and he brought about peace with God. So if Jesus was dead and not risen, as he said, then there would be nobody there to speak on our behalf. There would be no one there to give us peace, because the Bible says Jesus is our peace. There's no voice in the grave. But Jesus is not dead. He's alive, and he's sitting on the right hand of the Father, and he's yet working on our behalf. He's already paid our sin debt, but he's there as a go-between between him and his Father, and he's representing us. And I thank God for Jesus. We have peace with God because of Jesus. He is our peace. Not only do we have peace with God, Jesus' resurrection brought about the gift of the Holy Ghost. Do you remember that when Jesus went up, ascended, he told his disciples to go to the upper room and to wait until they're being endued with power? But if he was dead, the Holy Ghost was sent back after Jesus went up to heaven. If he was dead, he couldn't send the Holy Ghost back to us. Think about that. We wouldn't have the Holy Ghost if Jesus is the one who gives the Holy Ghost, and he's dead. But he's not dead, because we have the Holy Ghost. We have the Spirit of God abiding on the inside. And it doesn't matter what folks say. We know, according to the word of God, that Christ lives in us. How do we know that he lives in us? Because he changed our lives. The things that I used to do that was out of the will of God, I don't do that anymore. The places I used to go that God would not be pleased with, I don't go there anymore. The way I treated people contrary to God's word, I don't do that anymore. Because God is in me, I found out that I can, in fact, turn the other cheek. Can I get an amen? I found out, in fact, because Christ is in me, I can forgive those folks who have gone against me, and I need to forgive them. And people need to realize this. Some folks say, I'll never forgive them, but you're in trouble when you say that. Because if you don't forgive, you will not be forgiven. You got to forgive people. And if they say, you say, Pastor, you don't know what they've done to me. No, I don't, but God does. And God says, vengeance is mine, and I will repay. But also, we need to remember this, because see, some folks, God doesn't act fast enough for them, so they do some things on their own. But let me tell you, a true child of God won't do that, because the word of God let us know that be not deceived, God is not mocked, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. I thank God that when God gave us his Holy Ghost, he gave us power to obey his word. He gave us power to treat people right. He gave us power to let our light shine. He gave us power to do as he commands. And what we found out is, according to the word of God, when I do what God says, that means I love him. When God gave us his Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost lives in us, God is love. We love God and we love people. The greatest commandment is to love God, heart, soul, mind, all that's within you. And the next one is to love your neighbor as yourself. Thank God. See, that's the work of what Jesus does in our lives. But if he was dead, he couldn't do that. We'd yet be miserable creatures. But I thank God that He is alive, and he's working in the hearts and the minds of you, you and me. If Jesus was not alive, we would not have received an inheritance. The Bible says that we're heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We're in the family of God. God teaches us, according to his word, that we can call him Abba Father because he is our Father. Amen. But Jesus is alive, and he is the one that is bringing these things to fruition in our lives. Living for God is a reality. Amen. Living for God is a reality. God speaks his word, and we see it come to fruition. Amen. We find out, and many of you will probably raise your hand, or I'll ask you to raise your hand, but I wouldn't dare do that, that you knew that when you were a sinner, you were a tough customer. But oh, one day, you met the Maker. You met Jesus. Amen. And Jesus had power to let you know that you weren't the baddest one on the street. Amen. Jesus delivered us. Jesus changed us. And then the devil comes along, and because you don't act like you used to act, and the devil comes along and say, well, you just a pushover, you a doormat. People just treat you any kind of way, and you take it. But let me tell you what, you need to take some things because God says he will fight our battles for us. God wants us to know that when we do what he said, he's going to work in our behalf. God never fails. What he promised, he's going to do. And those of you who were bad, you found out that it's all right to be good. Amen. It's all right to do what God says. Because there's always a blessing in obeying God's word. I found out that there are things that people do to us, and we let God work it out, and we end up feeling sorry for them. But there's nothing we can do because they got in trouble with God themselves. Amen. The only thing we can do is pray for them, to help them. So we find out if Jesus had not gotten up, we would not have eternal life. How sad that would be. To die and have to be punished. But Jesus died in our stead, so we can go to a place of everlasting joy, everlasting peace, everlasting happiness. We can go to a place where we don't need the sun, don't need the moon, don't need the stars. God is going to light up his kingdom. Amen. Because he is light. Amen. You remember when Moses went up to the mountain and had that encounter with God? Amen. When he came back, the people couldn't look on him. He had to cover his face to give them what thus saith the Lord. So we would go to a place where there's no sickness, no death, no dying, no pandemic, no incurable diseases. We're going to get a new and a glorified body. And we're going to be in a place where it's going to be joy, peace, and happiness forever. And we will go to that place because Jesus is alive. Jesus is risen. And Jesus lives in you and me. And we know that he lives in us because he changed us. We know that he lives in us because we obey his word. We know that he lives in us because salvation, as we often remind you, is not based on a feeling. It's based on the word of God. And God's word is from everlasting to everlasting. God's word is truth. And if God said it, he's going to do it. Can I get an amen? Amen. So the resurrection affected us. We didn't go to the empty tomb, but we are living from the effects of what Jesus did. And we know that he's alive. He's alive forevermore, saints. And what's so wonderful about it, he made provision for us to be alive forever. the life that he gives is eternal life. What a blessing that is. You know, we sing a song, soon I will be done with the troubles of this world. I'm going home to live with the Lord. Now, that's for folks who have had faith in Jesus and in the redemptive work, his dying on the cross and his resurrection, paid our sin debts and became our Lord and Master, became our Savior. And he has given to us an abundant life. Abundant. It starts here. So your everlasting life starts right here. And it will be continued in glory. Oh, what a day that will be when all of God's people get together around the throne of God. We'll see Jesus. Amen. We'll be able to see the Father because, you know, down here, you know, Moses wanted to see him. He said you can't look on him and live. But one day we'll be in his presence. And it's all because Jesus paid our debts, but then he got up and he works to help us to come to faith and be children of God and have an inheritance, have a salvation that we can't lose. Isn't that wonderful? We can't lose our salvation when God saves us. Why you can't lose your salvation, Pastor? Because the Bible tells us we're in the Father's hands. And no one can pluck us out of his hands because the Father is greater than all. Who has more power than God? No one. Where does God's power exist? Heaven, earth, and beneath the earth. Amen. The devil, he has some power, but he doesn't have the power of God. The devil, when he had his encounter with Job, God allowed him to do certain things, but God drew a line. Say, you can do this, this, but you can't take his life. And the devil made him miserable, but he couldn't take his life. So the devil doesn't have the power that God has. And when God saves you, the devil can't have you back. God keeps us. He keeps us. And as I close, I want you to remember this. When Jesus saves us and he gives us eternal life, it never ends. You can't get out of eternal life. You can't go back in sin. If God keeps you, we have eternal life. It starts here, and then when we go to heaven, it will continue forever and ever and ever because Jesus is alive. Jesus is risen, and he's made a way for us to be adopted into the family of God. Can I get an amen? Amen. God bless you this time. Let us stand. I'm going to pray. Everyone, please stand. Perhaps there's someone today who do not know Jesus and the pardoning of your sins. What a great day to give your life to the Lord and be resurrected on this resurrecting Sunday. But I tell you what, he saves every day, not just on Easter Sunday. He saves every day of the week. When you have faith in him, faith in Jesus, faith in the redemptive work, he'll save your souls. He'll come to live in your life, and he'll be there forever. Perhaps there's someone who do not know Jesus. Why don't you cry out for mercy? Why don't you say, Lord, I'm a sinner. Have mercy on my soul. Please, Father, save me. Please forgive me of my sins. Please, give me the gift of the Holy Ghost. The scriptures say we ask for it, he'll give it to you. But this is the difference. God looks at your heart. See, some people speak things out of their mouth, but their heart is not. Their heart is far from them, far from God. But God looks at your heart. When your heart is broken, your spirit is broken, God will do something for you. And how do I know that? Because one day he did it for me. One day he did it for each one of you who are out there who know Jesus. In the pardoning of your sins, Whatever your problems, there's no problem the Lord can't fix. The Bible says, cast your cares on him because he cares for you. Heads are bowed. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you for Jesus, who is alive. He got up as he said he would, and he is now alive forevermore. And thank God he lives in the heart of his people. Father, we ask you to help us to walk uprightly before him. Help us to say yes to your word. Help us to do as you command. Keep us in your will. Lord, we thank you for Jesus. He did a great thing for us, whereof we're mighty glad. Lord, we ask you to look on perhaps someone under the sound of my voice do not know you. Jesus is not alive in them. Father, we ask you to touch their hearts and minds, open their understanding, help them to cry out for mercy. Help them to know that they need salvation. If you're not saved, you can't go to heaven. And Jesus is the Savior of the world. Lord, help their unbelief. Draw them to you. Give them, Lord, to have faith in you. Thank you, Lord, that salvation is available. Thank you, Lord, that we don't have to die in our sins. Thank you, God, for your great gift of salvation. Father, we ask to keep us in your care. Keep us with our minds stayed on you. And Lord, we will forever praise your holy name. Thank God. Amen. And amen. God bless you. The Lord is good. And the lady who says he's better than that just walked in. God bless you. It's time. Announcements. Sister Macro, you got to give an announcement. Sister Phyllis had to go.